that's a difficult act to follow, isn't it? When you see a performance of that quality. Was that anybody's first pantomime? Was that the first pantomime anyone's seen? Shawnee? Yeah, okay. Did anybody go to a pantomime this Christmas? Adults or children? Put your hand up if you went to a pantomime. Joy, which did you go and see? Aladdin. Okay, we saw Aladdin. Leah, did you go to a pantomime? Which did you see? Hansel and Gretel. Okay, I think that was on at Kingston Rose. Emmanuel, what did you see? You saw Hansel and Gretel too. Okay, wow. Has anybody else ever been in a pantomime before? Dan Bellamy at the back. Yeah, what were you, Dan? Were you Widow Twankey or something? You were a pirate in Peter Pan. Very appropriate. Yep, Phil Moat, our acting talent. Our, yep, what did you do, Phil? Oh, my word. Okay, so, yeah. And he's also played a dame and an ugly sister. Okay, well, I'll leave you and Johnny to compare notes after the service. Yeah, I wish I'd known that, Phil. You tell me that now. If you told me beforehand, then there might have been a role for you. Okay. Well, that was. Have you been in one, Kirsten? What have you been? Kiki was Aladdin in the pantomime Pandemonium as well. Wow, that sounds fantastic. I thought that was pretty memorable, that pantomime this morning. But ultimately, if when we go from here today, all that we remember is the pantomime and how some of them looked and the funny lines they delivered, it will ultimately actually have been a bit of a waste of time. An enjoyable waste of time, but a bit of a waste of time nevertheless. Because what we're going to think about on the back of that is something that is perhaps really great for us to share in together. There was something that was a little bit strange. I don't know, can any of the children or young people tell me what was a bit unusual about that pantomime? What was a bit strange about it? Craig? The little Cinderella sketch there. Shawnee? We'll come to that in a minute. What was different? What was unusual about the way they acted? Tony? It was completely deadpan, wasn't it? They looked as though they were bored. They looked as though they had no interest in the amazing story that they were taking part in. They looked as though they were disengaged. Now, does anyone here admit to ever getting bored? Yep. Leah, you sometimes, what makes you bored, Leah? Is it school? School or homework, Emmanuel? Having to wait for dinner to cook. Yeah, that's boring. Fab, what were you going to say? It bores you to listen to talks in church? No, I'm being silly. Go on, what were you going to say? Watching TV, boring. Okay. I'm not sure if Johnny was back in here, but apparently watching Chelsea at Stamford Bridge falls into that category. But I wonder what it is that makes you bored. Because one of the things that's a bit strange is we live in an entertainment-rich society. This period in history that we live in, there are more things to keep us entertained and amused than there perhaps have ever been. There's YouTube, there's Netflix, there's PlayStation 4s, there's iPhones. 24/7 entertainment is available at just the touch of a button. But yet sometimes, in comparison, real life can actually seem a little bit boring. And you know what? Sometimes people think that the Christian life and Christianity is a little bit boring too. I wonder why that is. Now, I was at dinner the other night, and I was just talking to the person next to me, and I was saying that I was studying theology in a Baptist training college. And this lady looked at me a bit quizzically and she said, Baptist, she said. She said, is that a bit like being a Christian, but with quite a lot more singing and just a bit more fun? And I love that. I thought that was great, but it was interesting that there was that perception that was out there, and it's not a perception that is actually that uncommon. And I wonder if that's partly because over the course of recent decades, the message that the church has communicated about itself is that church and the Christian life is a bit boring. Have we perhaps ourselves also occasionally been conned into thinking that same thing? Because the Bible, of course, tells us of God, but it also tells us that there's a spiritual opposition. Jesus is the good shepherd, but he says in John 10 that there is also a thief who comes to steal and to destroy. And there are several things, actually, perhaps if we stop and think about it, that can come in and can steal our joy in life, that can perhaps kill our appetite for life and for all that God intends for us. And I think that can be true regardless sometimes of whether we would consider ourselves to be Christians or not. That probably speaks into our situation here for most of us, at least at some time or another. So what are these things that perhaps come in and take away our joy and steal the life that God has for us? Well, firstly, sometimes it's busyness. We're so busy doing life and activities, whether that's going to school and doing our homework and our swimming club and our acting and our football training, whether as an adult it's going out to work first thing early in the morning, returning home exhausted at the end of the day. Sometimes we could just find that the busyness of life squeezes us and squeezes out our joy. Perhaps we find it difficult because actually we're still struggling to find our true sense of identity and self-worth. Perhaps we've never really had somebody who's helped us and encouraged us to think through who we are and why we're here, what our gifts and what our talents might be, and how we can use them and we can express them. We've seen the youngsters this morning doing that in a fantastic way. And it's a great thing for us to think about. Sometimes it's actually just really difficult to fit in. We all want to fit in, don't we? We want to fit in with the crowd. And being different is difficult and risky. And so we just drift along a little bit and life passes us by. Perhaps it's actually the fact that life has just got that little bit too comfortable. We are blessed here, aren't we, in New Malden, in the year 2019, compared to a lot of what happens around the world, to have a fairly comfortable existence. Okay, it may not be a fairy tale, but if we're kids, maybe we got most of the things that we had on our Santa's list. If we're an adult, we may already have met our Prince Charming. Liz is sitting next to hers, over there. We may not have a golden carriage or a souped-up Mercedes, but we probably might be content with thinking, I've got a decent car or a bike or a scooter. We may not go out every week to a glamorous ball with wonderful dancing, but we do perhaps get the chance to go to Krispy Kreme occasionally for a special treat, or perhaps out with our friends for a drink. Because we're well catered for, we're well fed, we're well watered. But actually, there's something that is just missing. That little bit of adventure or excitement. And perhaps our purpose in life suffers as a result. Perhaps, if we're honest, it's actually the opposite. Life has actually bitten us pretty hard on the bum. It feels like a struggle. We've had a difficult upbringing. Relationships have been a challenge. Finances are difficult. Health has been a struggle. We've lost people who are important and who are dear to us, or we're suffering from some form of injustice. All of those things can take away our joy. Perhaps deep down, we can't quite put our finger on it. We know I am beautiful. I am happy. And that ultimately it will be all right. But we still find ourselves asking that question, is this really all there is? Is there more to life than this? That's the strapline question for the Alpha Course, isn't it? Because it is the question that so many people are asking, consciously or subconsciously. Is there more to life than what I'm living? And the great news is that the answer to that question is yes. Yes, there is more to life than this. Not because I'm standing up the front saying that, but because that is what Jesus tells us. The second half of that verse we had on the screen, Jesus' words in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Message version is interesting. The Message version of this verse says, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Jesus' life was a life that was lived to the max, and not because he drank sugar-free Pepsi. His was a life lived to the max because not only was he God, but he was also the ultimate example of what it means to be human. He was a model of life to the full for us, of this more and this better life. Not because of the continuous entertainment that we have available to us, but because when he says, come, follow me, we need to put aside, like the disciples, our net flicks, and we need to be prepared to follow and to become fishers of men. But you know what? There's even more to it than that. Because through Jesus, the eternal life that he has promised us is something that has already started. Sounds a bit twee. I think it must have come, if you'll forgive me, from an American preacher. But he said, this eternal life is not pie in the sky for when we die. It is steak on the plate while we wait. Or if you're vegetarian, it's falafel, I guess. But it is something for us now to enjoy. We can enjoy it because through Jesus' pain and sacrifice on the cross, we can be free. The chains are broken. We can be free from condemnation, free from guilt, free from fear. But the freedom that Jesus offers is not only a freedom from. It's not only from things we need to be released from. It is also a freedom to. It is a freedom to live life with a purpose. The purpose of loving God, loving our neighbor, and loving ourselves, because we know that in Christ, we are dearly loved children of God. We're free to live with the purpose of living generously because in Jesus Christ, we already have all that we need. And we're free to live with the purpose of seeking to bless others because in Jesus Christ, we have already been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Life in Jesus Christ is not a fairy tale. It hurts sometimes. It is difficult sometimes. It is a struggle sometimes. Jesus had nails in his hands, not a magic wand. And life that we have in Christ is also, it's not a pantomime. Okay, just like a couple of our participants, it may sometimes be ugly. Sometimes it feels charming. Sometimes it feels like it's just behind you. But Jesus turned water into wine, yes, but shed tears of suffering and of sacrifice and of grief through eyes that were fixed on the heavenly banquet prepared for all mankind. And then finally, life in Christ is not a dress rehearsal. It's not a green room gathering waiting to be beckoned onto the stage to receive some heavenly accolade. Jesus took off his sandals, took off his robe, put a towel round his waist, and got down and washed his friends, the disciples' feet. Because Jesus knew that death would not be the end. He believed in life before death, and he invites us now, each and every one of us, to trust all that we are to him and to live our lives in honor of him. His desire is that we might be truly free and to have life and to have it to the full. Amen.